All right, here we go. Gabe Henderson.
Yeah.
In here for the podcast today. We're going to talk about some of these playoff matchups.
Interesting.
I watched the Minnesota Vikings game. I actually watched all these games on film. I want to talk about Seattle. I watched their offense. I want to talk about Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I watched their offense. I want to talk about Kirk Cousins a little bit. Maybe a little film breakdown of Kirk Cousins.
I like it.
Should text it to him. Talk about Tennessee and that offense. Well, we got a lot of stuff. I got a fun little quarterback game to play with you.
Okay.
We got all kinds of stuff to do today.
I'm excited, man.
Just going through some random thoughts as you get into these playoff games. There's this concept that you have to stop the run late in the season. You have to be able to stop the run to be able to win a Super Bowl, to be a playoff team, to win your division, to win the NFC East for sure. No. You have to run the ball. That's what it is. This is what wins games. It's amazing that as the league has become such a pass league, that the teams that are in the playoffs and are great right now are run teams. Mm-hmm. Baltimore's number one in the league running the ball. San Francisco's number two running the ball. Tennessee, number three. Seattle, number four.
That's crazy.
Dallas was fifth. Should have been a playoff team. How they didn't win games, I don't know. Minnesota, six. Mm-hmm. Buffalo was in, their eighth. Philly was in, their 11th. By the way, Arizona was 10th. How they were 10th in rush.
Arizona?
Arizona. And Cleveland was 12th. But well,
Nick Chubb had a good year. Baller. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Right now, Green Bay is 15th in the league, and Kansas City's 23rd. Those are the two anomalies, but Kansas City is obviously
they're lethal. Good. They're good.
Lethal with the pass game.
They got to get defense, too.
Oh, yeah. Spagnuolo's got those guys rolling in Kansas City. They're lethal in the pass game, and they have a heck of a screen game that complements it. Mm-hmm. So some of their screen stuff complements it, which in turn acts as a counter to some of their pass game stuff. Right. You have to be able to run the ball.
I think Tennessee proved that last week. Like, you, in order to win games, you have to be able to run the ball.
Dude, Ryan Tannehill threw it for 60 or 72 yards.
Yeah.
Like, and 22 of them were a screen to Henry. So he threw it for 50 total yards.
It's crazy.
50 on 9 completions.
Right.
Derrick Henry was a dude, man.
And, I mean, even, of course, I know you want to talk about Kirk Cousins also, but on the stat sheet, Kirk Cousins didn't have, like, a stat-heavy game. Dalvin Cook had 94 rushing yards.
Dalvin Cook was a monster.
And unreal.
Dalvin Cook had over 130 rushing yards, didn't he? Or Minnesota as a team.
Yeah, they had
Dalvin
as a
Cook
team.
Dalvin Cook had a couple negative carries, too, where they got blown up in the backfield, or he would have been over 100 yards.
He had like 80 yards in the first half. But he, you can just tell him running the ball, the Saints couldn't stop it. So basically Kirk Cousins could do basically whatever he wanted to do because you had to respect both.
They had – so many big runs in the first half of that ball game. So many.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't running the ball for 2 and 3 yards.
It was like
they were getting gashes.
8 yards here, 10 yards here, 13 yards here.
Yeah. Plus 9, plus 7, plus 16, plus 10, plus 22. Mm-hmm. I wrote that. These are actually real numbers. Plus 6.
I believe you.
Plus, I mean, it was unbelievable how they ran the ball against the Saints, and it was all zone. And that's really what this league is and has to be, mm-hmm. is that everything has to start with the stretch zone scheme. And it doesn't have to be the tight end side. The weak side runs are just as impactful. Mm-hmm. It can be complemented with toss action. You can pull your tackle, which is still kind of like a zone deal where you're down blocking your tight end.
Right.
You have to run that. And I think a big part of it is, one, speed in the NFL has taken over.
Dalvin Cook proved that.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook proved that. Well, Derrick Henry's, he's got speed. But
exactly.
He's downhill. But it's also the practice. I've talked about this on this podcast. The practice element of the NFL not being padded doesn't – it's hard to get the fits you want downhill, vertical run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really drive block and get tight and
– in practice.
Or one-on-one ISO blocks with offensive linemen where they're working on driving – that doesn't happen anymore, man.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that?
Well, I think it's hard because you only get one day of pads.
True, and even
and some those of those fits are hard. Whereas everybody on this on a string is basically what you call it in the zone, and everybody open gap stepping and turning and going on, allowing the back to get one cut and go, is something that you can practice 100% on Friday in shells, on Thursday in shells.
But
it's a fit look.
But it's so hard to practice full speed though in the NFL because a lot of guys want to preserve their body. So is it one of those things where you dedicate a day during the week? Hey, this day we're going full speed. Like, do NFL practices, do they need to be more full speed? Like, I'm just inquiring.
Yeah, they should be full speed every day. Okay. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday should be full speed practices. But you can't full speed practice downhill dive.
Yeah.
You just can't do that without pads. You can do it on Wednesday if you want to wear pads on Wednesday. But it's just hard to get those true fit looks without really being able to drive somebody and move somebody straight downhill stuff. So that's where that stretch comes in. And it's really just as much of a practice theory. But then it is this game's evolved to be such a run-action pass game. Mm-hmm. That's where you get the open looks in some of the run-action pass stuff. And that's where you get on the edge with some of the boot looks. That's where you get to be really versatile. I mean, Baltimore's the one team that's a bit of an anomaly that doesn't they don't necessarily run the zone stretch scheme.
It's all not read that they place. Can't.
It's all read, or it's going to look like read,
right.
But then it's complemented with quarterback runs that are called and designed quarterback runs. Right. Lamar Jackson is an absolute freak. So, and Mark Ingram's run it really well, but they're operating so fast at the line of scrimmage and doing such a good job with some of their fly sweep actions and some of their tight end actions that they can do it a little different than other people. The quarterback taking somebody out of the box or out of the play allows that downhill run to work a little bit more effective.
I'm not sure if that's going to be effective as long, like in the NFL, because you got to think a lot of these teams will adapt to that. Like, you see a lot of rookie quarterbacks. My theory is a lot of rookie quarterbacks look good because you don't have enough film to watch. So once teams, they call it the sophomore slump. Once you get in that second year, you got 16 games to watch. Dak Prescott is a prime example. You got 16 games to watch of his rookie season, but it's like, okay, this is what he likes to do. Let's take this away. Let's see if he can adjust. Going back to Lamar Jackson, it's like, can he still do that? Can he still do that for against a team that can scheme well against everything that he likes to do, a scheme against his strengths? A Bill Belichick next year. You already know he saw Lamar Jackson this year. He already knows what to expect. He's like, all right, this is what he likes to do well. What can Lamar Jackson do after a coach takes away what he does best? And I feel like of course, Lamar Jackson is in his second season as a quarterback, but this is his true first season as a starting quarterback. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
You can't take away what he does best. Right now, he's so electric that if you try to take something away in the pass game, he can run for 10, 20,
so you're saying you got to respect both.
30, 40. And you can try to take it away, but he can break tackles. He can shake guys. He can get on the edge and outrun guys. You can't take it away. If he can do that, you can't take away anything from him. The only way you have a chance against Baltimore is, in my opinion, to start to make them one-dimensional. You have to possess the ball. You have to control the ball. You have to frustrate them. You have to get up on Baltimore. But I'm so impressed with what Baltimore has really become this year. Like, if you looked at what they did last year, and as Lamar started to grow and started to become a pretty darn good player, the Chargers went in and went with a 6 DB set and said, you're not going to be able to run on us, Lamar. We're going to have speed on the field. So Baltimore said, yeah, we kind of understood that. We'll just keep building with tight ends. And they go with 2-3 tight end sets almost every single down. And so you can't match that with 6 DBs in a downhill run game. You want to match 6 DBs and try to stop our downhill run game with our 3 tight ends who can block? Nah, you're not. And so they countered what anybody would try to do to Lamar Jackson by personneling around that and getting 3 very good tight ends. And Mark Andrews and Hayden Hurst and the other guy's name eludes me because it's, I don't know why, because he's my favorite dude on their roster. This is the guy I wanted to sign in free agency last year. I've watched more film on the last guy, but for whatever reason, his name.
You're talking about the Ravens, right?
Yeah, their third tight end. I'll think of it really quick here.
Got Hayden Hurst, Miles Boykin. No.
Nick Boyle.
Nick Boyle
is the guy. Nick Boyle.
86.
Nick Boyle's baller. I rarely go talk to anybody about anything around Redskins Park, but as we got closer to free agency last year, mm-hmm. I went back and I'm like, you got to get Nick Boyle if you can get Nick Boyle. This guy he makes things go in the run game. And Baltimore knew that. Mm-hmm. And I thought he would go to free agency because they drafted Hayden Hurst in the first round mm-hmm. and Mark Andrews in the second round. So why are they going to pay a third tight end a lot of money? Well, they knew what they were doing
right.
because that's how they protected Lamar Jackson, and that's how they keep six DBs off the field.
Yeah.
They get your big people on the field, then it allows these three tight ends who can also go out in their pass game to be versatile and dynamic, and that's why Andrews has had the year he's had. That's why Hurst has had some of the big looks mm-hmm. they've had. And also because Lamar Jackson's capable of getting the ball. But I just don't know where you – if you can't stop that run game, I don't know what are you going to take away?
I don't know. And the thing is – Archie III is a similar quarterback to Lamar Jackson's. We saw in week 17 when Archie III got in and got his time to shine, they rested Lamar Jackson. You don't have to change anything with Archie III at the quarterback.
And then they drafted McSorley.
Exactly.
So clearly they're – I'll be interested because it looks like Greg Roman's going to stay unless Cleveland ends up hiring him.
Yeah.
If I was Cleveland, I really think Greg Roman would be my guy based on who that team is. Like they're
really?
A good run team with Nick Chubb and a quarterback who's very capable of running the football. I would think that offense would suit them. You got to go out and get a tight end.
Yeah.
But
they do have a tight end.
Njoku?
Yeah.
He's not a blocking tight end. They got to go out and get a couple guys to
yeah.
do it really the way they want to do it. But you have Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, potential trade guys if you wanted to go out and trade for a guy.
They have so much talent. They have a lot of assets. If they do want to trade somebody, they can get a lot in return.
I think
if that's the route they want to go.
And there's a couple guys in the draft that they can go out and get too. Okay. But, no, that's the thing about Baltimore. So, anyways, they're the one team that's kind of the anomaly. But you asked me, how do you take it away? You have to be able to tackle Lamar Jackson.
And outscore him.
You got to be able to tackle Lamar Jackson. So.
Like in their two losses, they had 25 points and 28. Like they're still going to score. You're not just going to stop them. So
no,
it's a lot.
But it'll be interesting because Tennessee can run the ball.
Yeah, milk the clock a little bit.
Before we get into some of the film stuff, I wanted to play this little game with you.
Okay.
I think two out of the four going to be pretty easy. But let's go quarterback versus quarterback. Who would you take?
Okay.
Start with Seattle, Green Bay.
Oh, man.
Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers.
Today or both in their prime?
Who's to say they're not both? First of all, Russell Wilson is 100% in his prime.
Exactly, but I think Aaron Rodgers is like he's at the end of his prime right now.
I don't think he is. I just think he's in another offense.
Aaron Rodgers. It's hard to go against Aaron Rodgers right now. But Russell Wilson is hot. Russell Wilson, to start the season off, his first eight games this season, was scorching hot. But you can't not pick Aaron Rodgers. Like, give Aaron Rodgers a team. Put Aaron Rodgers on the Cowboys right now. The Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders. Like, Aaron Rodgers, to answer your question.
I have thought a lot about this one. Russell Wilson.
Explain.
They both have a lot of similarities. They do.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to think that or say that, but they're probably the two best movement in the pocket.
Yeah.
Run to throw quarterbacks or scramble to throw or step and move to throw quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But Russell Wilson is making more throws right now than Aaron Rodgers. Trust me, I know what Aaron Rodgers can do, but the one thing that Aaron Rodgers doesn't do is scramble for 22 yards on second and 16.
That's not what he's trying to do.
When you watch the Seahawks, you're like, we got him.
Yeah.
But he just scrambled for 22 yards. Yeah. And it could be Russell Wilson takes a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
You can sack him on first and 10 in a run action look. okay, we're in great shape. Second 16. Here we go. And he just takes off.
Yeah. 16, 17 yards. Slide. Next play. First down and 10.
But he is, and Rodgers is too, but he is so deadly on the move as a passer. Some of these throws he made on the move in that last game.
Yeah, yeah.
My gosh. I mean, they only scored 17 against the Eagles, but some of the plays that Russell Wilson made, Russell Wilson won the game. DK Metcalf made some big-time plays, but Russell Wilson won that game.
Oh, man. I would say DK Metcalf won that game. That's just my personal opinion. Like, some of those, like, Russell Wilson did throw it to where only DK Metcalf can catch it, but at the same time, if DK Metcalf isn't that receiver, there's not a lot of receivers that's making a lot of those. Like, okay, you got your DeAndre Hopkins.
He made the one downfield ball.
Yeah.
That was really sweet. It was a great throw.
Yeah.
He extends to get it. He had two run after catches that were really, really sweet.
Right.
And his burst is going to be. But Russell Wilson made a lot of throws to not just DK Metcalf. Russell Wilson made some throws. He made a couple on plays that got called back.
Yeah. Like, I give you that. Yeah, I give you that. I just think
in this particular game, I'm going to bet on Russell Wilson right now.
He's hot.
But this is like a 51-49 proposition. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not taking Russell Wilson by a landslide, but just watching what he's doing, that's amazing.
I mean, the Seahawks, people forget that the Seahawks were, what was their record this year? 12-4? Something like that?
11-5.
11-5?
Like, but they lost three of their last four entering the playoffs with the win against only Carolina. They had won five straight, including some big games, but then lost three of their last four.
Yeah. Cardinals, Rams.
49ers.
Yeah, 49ers. Yeah. Got a point.
We'll talk about Seahawks in a little bit when we get to this game. Cousins or Garoppolo, Minnesota, San Francisco. Do you take Kurt Cousins?
Kurt.
You like that? Or do you take Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, you got to count weapons out of this.
Without a doubt, Kurt Cousins. Without a doubt. I think Jimmy G still has some polishing he has to do to his game. If it wasn't for that San Francisco 49ers defense, the 49ers wouldn't be in the position they are right now. That's granted. The Vikings do have a really good defense. Eric Kendricks, A.J. Barr, they're phenomenal linebackers. Two of the best duo linebackers in the NFL. But however, Kirk Cousins, that offense, Minnesota, you got Adam Thielen. What's the other receiver that I'm thinking of?
Well, first, yeah,
Stephon Diggs.
Kyle Rudolph,
Dalvin Cook. Like, you, Irv Smith Jr., like, you, he's got some weapons there. And, I mean, I feel like he gives his receivers a chance, and he knows when to give his receivers a chance. Granted, Jimmy Garoppolo, he'll give his receivers a chance, but at the same time, it's more than likely it'll be an interception. Like, just looking at their stats side by side, Kirk Cousins has better stats. Granted, because he has a better offense, too.
What about you? Yeah, well, San Francisco's passing offense is 13th in the league to Minnesota's, which is 23rd. So their passing offense is actually better. Their rush offense, San Francisco's, is tremendous as well. The defense is outstanding. Minnesota's defense is better than it played. They played well against the Saints, though. I mean, the thing is if Jimmy G gets hot, Jimmy. He's going to let it fly.
Right.
He's going to make the throws that Kyle wants him to make. He's going to let it fly. You got to be a baller. Mm-hmm. I remember going to baller mode there. You know, that's what Kyle used to always say. I mean, Kirk was really, really good in the game against the Saints. And I'm tired of the old he can't win big games theory. But he's still – Jimmy will give the deeper throw one more look, if that makes sense. He'll give it one more – he'll give it another half second.
Like, granted, Jimmy G did have more passing yards than Kirk, but 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions to Kirk Cousins, 26-6.
Jimmy could have had 20 interceptions easily. He had a bunch of balls that could have been picked that weren't picked this year.
I just think he just needs a little bit more polishing. He's a really good quarterback, but
– if Jimmy gets hot – I'm going to take Jimmy.
Okay.
But I'm going to take Kirk I'm going to take Kirk in the head-to-head. I don't know if Jimmy's going to be hot. I've seen Jimmy not hot.
Yeah.
And Jimmy not hot is a problem.
like 3-4 interceptions type
Jimmy
of
not hot is not seeing the field. Yeah. Kirk will see the field.
Yeah.
He'll just make choices. Make some business decisions whether or not he wants to hold on to it a little longer, just throw the check down. And now some DC travel wisdom. The old saying goes, if you want to go fast, go to Dulles. The airport access highway gets you there from DC in as little as 30 minutes. But if you want to go far, well, also go to Dulles, where you can fly nonstop to 145 destinations. That's 45% more than any other airport in the region. Find out how else you can travel wisely at flydulles.com/wise. Whether you're on the field or in the classroom, the Washington Redskins believe learning should be fun. That's why we've partnered with youth entrepreneurs to bring their engaging, hands-on style of learning to classrooms in the D.C. metro area. Youth Entrepreneurs curriculum was created by educators for educators. That means it's flexible, fun, and absolutely free. To learn more about youth entrepreneurs and how to experience it for yourself, go visit getye.org. This is actually an interesting one for this game. We're both going to take Mahomes, but as we change games to the Chiefs-Texans game, Watson or Mahomes?
I'm going to tell you, Mahomes. Mahomes is safe. Deshaun Watson, you don't know what you're going to get. He might get, like, he got sacked 7 times last game. I'm not saying all of that is on him, but it's big play or bust for Deshaun Watson. Patrick Mahomes, you already know he's more consistent than Deshaun Watson. That's why I say it's safe to take Pat Mahomes in this situation.
I don't think you can argue it. The thing that I like about Watson is he makes big plays with games on the line. Yeah. I've seen him do it for a couple years now,
even in college.
You watch the first half of that Texans game last week against the Bills. Mm-hmm. He didn't see anything. Mm-mm. He was just out there. He was surviving.
The moment was too big for him, I think.
I just don't think he saw it. And I think he just made a decision a little bit later in the game that I gotta go just play ball. Let's just go play ball. And as soon as Watson just decides to go play ball, he starts making plays.
Right. He has to get into a rhythm.
So I think he needs a big run. you know what I mean? Like, some guys need a big throw. I think he needs a big run and maybe take a hit.
Yeah.
Feel a little shake.
I know a lot of people say that. They say they're nervous until they get tackled. I remember my best friend who plays for the Miami Dolphins. He says, he can have 2 interceptions to start the game, like 2 pick sixes. But he said if he doesn't get a tackle first, he's nervous the rest of the game. So I get it. On the quarterback side of the ball, until you get tackled, it's like, all right. Man, I don't know. You still had those butterflies. You played too. I'm pretty sure you had your moment when the butterflies went away. I don't know if it was a national
first time
anthem.
I got really tired.
Hmm.
Like, first time I exhausted myself. So if you had a 3-play drive where you didn't do a whole heck of a lot, I didn't feel like the butterflies went away.
Okay.
But you had a 7-play drive and a catch, and you were like,
yeah, it's like, all
just
right,
a little bit. Okay. Then it's out. That's what it always was.
I think for me, my probably getting tackled. Like, I started a game where I had 2 or 3 catches first drive of the game. And
if you just went out of bounds.
Went out of bounds, I'm like, all right. But second drive, I got tackled. And I'm like, all right, good. Like, we're fine. We're still winning the game. But, all right, the butterflies are gone. I'm good. So I get that.
Lamar Jackson, Tannehill, we're not even going to talk about that.
Tannehill,
you got to give Tannehill some credit that he really started to lead this team and put some wins together and what they did offensively. I didn't think Tannehill was ever great. A lot of people talked about Tannehill just made himself a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tannehill was ever – he made some big throws this season. I will give him that. But I don't think over a period of 2 full games or 3 full games, he made plays, but that offense was solely based on the run.
I
just didn't see it.
Arthur Smith, the OC for the Titans, I think he called a phenomenal game. Like, game management, when I think of game management, everybody says, hey, good job by the quarterback. But the offensive coordinator, the person who's calling the plays, like, man, kudos, bro. Like, kudos. You can keep the Patriots offense off the field, or your defense had to help too. But the fact that just run the ball. Like, I mean, you know, the run usually sets up the pass. And the fact that he stuck with the run, let the clock melt out. I mean, let the clock go down. Like, kudos to Arthur Smith.
No doubt. I mean, Tannehill made two big throws in the game. Mm-hmm. Both to the tight end, Fisker. Threw a touchdown in the seam to Fisker and a third down late.
Yeah.
Where Fisker ran a corner out. Those were Fisker's only two catches in that ball game. But those were
huge.
Tannehill's two biggest throws. Other than that, he didn't do anything, man. Patriots played sticky man-to-man defense, and they made it hard on Tennessee. So here's where this is interesting.
If you go through
what ESPN does as QBR, which I like better than quarterback rating because it really factors in the quarterback running. But it's wild because old school mentality says, like, I don't really care about those little runs. And those Lamar was first out of the guys, 81.9. Mahomes, 76.5, was second. You go down through the list. Wilson was third out of everybody. Watson was fourth.
Wow.
Fitzpatrick was fifth. Oh, sorry, excuse me, Tannehill. I've read Fitzpatrick. Tannehill was fifth. Jimmy Garoppolo leads Kirk Cousins. Jimmy Garoppolo had a 59 QBR on ESPN. Kirk Cousins had a 58.7.
Bro, what?
So that's a pretty interesting back and forth. Aaron Rodgers, 50.4. Last of them.
Wow.
Aaron Rodgers hasn't had a great year. He's made some big throws.
Yeah.
But they haven't had a great year.
I remember when we played the Packers earlier this year. Well, last season, 2019, of course. He didn't really have the best game. Like, he missed a lot of throws that we've seen him make. Like, of course, he's still Aaron Rodgers, but you're right. He didn't have his best season. And I'm not sure what that is.
It's a new offense. And it's a new offense that I think is trying to complement Aaron Rodgers' wants and needs, because Matt LaFleur is not going to be in shotgun as much as they're in shotgun if it's his choice.
Huh.
But watch what Tennessee did last year. Yeah. You watch what Tennessee did last week. They're not a shotgun-exclusive team. But I think Aaron Rodgers likes to be in shotgun, so they went in shotgun a lot. It's hard to get some of the runs you want, some of the looks. Their best plays this year have been not in shotgun. His best throws have been play action, run action shots out of two and three tight ends. Some of the boot stuff that they've done. If he just allows that to continue to happen in that run scheme, I think that's where you really have the most opportunity.
Question for you off.
But it is, by the way, it is interesting. Like, Minnesota, Shanahan run scheme.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco, obviously, Shanahan run scheme. Green Bay, Shanahan run scheme. Seattle was more zone.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed a little in the last couple weeks. Tennessee, Shanahan run scheme. Arthur Smith, coming from Matt LaFleur, also coming from Joe Gibbs, zone run scheme. Houston, zone run scheme. Kansas City, all gone.
Right.
So you look at that scheme and you say, out of the eight teams left, five of them are direct disciples of Mike Shanahan run scheme.
That's crazy.
I think it works. I think it works.
Still.
It's pretty amazing.
But you would think you would see more teams going towards what? I mean, you got to have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, but you would see more teams going towards what the Chiefs are doing. More spread it out, just sling it down the field. But like I said, you got to have a slinger. Like, I would think the Packers would be more like the Chiefs right now. You got a quarterback that can throw it 60 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Got a running back that can run it whenever you need him to and just go from there. You would think that, but with the stat of five teams that have that love the zone read, Shanahan type of, you know, schemes, like, they're still
Here's the thing efficient. That I – why one reason I'm impressed with Andy Reid, because he's got a guy that's a gun guy, like we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't want to put all the pressure on all the protections on him. He doesn't have a lot of six-man protections. He does have them, but they have a lot of five-man protections, which is college-like, fun and gun.
Right.
West Coast coaches don't want to do that. One of the foundations of the West Coast is the jet protection, or the six-man protection, or excuse me, the five-man Six-man. Six-man protection with the running back involved in the protection. And it involves the quarterback understanding, flipping the line, getting his back set where he needs to get his back set. Kansas City just throws hot. There is no way, as much as Aaron Rodgers might want to go all five-man 50 protection or scat protection, there is no way that Matt LaFleur is going to do that. So, and they do at times. Everyone uses it. You have to use it, but
not rely on
it. Nobody uses it even close to the extent that Kansas City does.
Well, when you got Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, you can do stuff like that too.
Well, and you got Mahomes, who's just going to make a guy miss if he has to make a guy miss. Right. He's going to sidearm it when he's got to sidearm it. I think that's what makes Mahomes so intriguing. Mm-hmm. Is just all the things he can do, and it's hard to pressure him, even though they're not blocking it up. And those backs, what Andy Reid does, getting those backs out of the backfield, man, it's pretty awesome. All right. Take a second here. Just tell you that if you're looking for great-tasting food at a great price, you can check out the $3.99 sub of the day at Subway. This is a Subway restaurant. It features a different 6-inch sub each day, like turkey breast on Wednesdays and the Italian BMT on Thursdays. And, of course, every sub of the day is prepared on freshly baked bread, and it's topped with your choice of fresh veggies. That's one tasty value. The $3.99 sub of the day at Subway. Great food, great price at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Did you know that your Washington Redskins are sponsored by Koch Industries? That's K-O-C-H, Koch. Their 67,000 U.S. employees make a lot of things that make game day better. Greener turf, they make that. Stronger paper products for tailgating, yeah, they make that. Oh, and electronic components in TVs and smart devices so you can watch your Redskins victory anywhere. Yeah, Coke makes that too. See all they make for on and off the field at CokeMakesThat.com. That's K-O-C-H, MakesThat.com. 75 tons of game day trash and recyclables need to find a home. So when the final whistle blows, our team hits the field. As an official partner of the Washington Redskins, RTS is connecting FedEx Field with smarter waste solutions. It ensures a more sustainable and responsible approach to what's left behind at the end of the game. RTS, a better waste company. Find out more at RTS.com. I watched all the Vikings game.
That was a good game.
That was an amazing game.
That was a good game.
Before we get to Kirk, man, I wanted to see a little bit more Taysom Hill.
Ooh. He can do it all, man.
He is really fun to watch. Like, he could be – he's not Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably the next closest thing besides Watson. Taysom Hill runs a 4-4. Taysom Hill coming out of BYU ran a 4-4. Taysom Hill can fly.
Yeah.
And he can run the ball.
But he's – I'm not thinking of
– the Saints are going to move on to Taysom Hill. It's not going to be the same offense.
I think Taysom Hill is closer to like a Russell Wilson than a Lamar Jackson.
Well, but yeah, I know what you're saying. What's the next closest thing to Lamar Jackson right now? I think it's probably Taysom Hill. Who else? Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Man, who are we missing? I feel like we're missing. I wouldn't say Dak Prescott. Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater can't run.
Jacoby Brissett can't run.
No.
I would say Russell Wilson. Like Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. Man, who else? Taysom Hill is up there. I will give you that, but
without seeing him do it on a large scale, you would say that it's Russell Wilson who can definitely run. Mm-hmm. But I think it's Taysom Hill would be the closest thing if you wanted to do that.
I'm listening.
Plus, you put him in, let him lead block as a fullback.
I'm surprised they have him
on the ball as a tight end.
Yeah.
Split him out as a wide receiver.
He can punt.
I'm surprised they don't use him more.
I'm surprised they don't use him on defense.
Actually, he's like the new Urlacher.
Seriously.
When New Mexico played Brian Urlacher every single position on the field for a year.
He can do it all, man. But it's crazy just starting from...
You don't know exactly how well he's going to do it all when he has to do it all. But and it was funny because I thought they would play Taysom Hill at quarterback more mm-hmm. when Breeze got hurt instead of Bridgewater. But I think they played Bridgewater, and who did a heck of a job.
Yeah.
I think they did that because they didn't want to lose Taysom Hill and what he was doing.
Man, that is... I didn't think about it like that.
Like if you play Taysom Hill at quarterback, wow. you lose your slash play every position player.
That is very true. I didn't think about it like that. Didn't think about it like that.
I don't know.
He made some phenomenal plays last game. I mean, it was...
the one drive, but it was really mostly the one drive.
Yeah.
Where he gets... Well, I think it was a second and five or it was a third down where he has the zone read. He stays in the next play. He throws the deep shot down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Rhodes gets burned again. Looks at Harrison Smith again. I actually think that was Harrison Smith. I think they were playing a split field coverage
uh-huh.
with a half on one side and a quarters on the other side.
Cover six.
Yeah, 66. Whatever anybody calls it.
Yeah.
You look through old playbooks and
it all has a six beside it.
Some people called that seven.
What?
Yeah. With Saunders and the Coryell system, we used to call that cover seven.
Wow.
If it was weak. If it was strong, we called it six. Yeah. So anyways.
What a great game. First drive of the game was a fumble by Adam Thielen. Last drive of the game for the Vikings was a touchdown. Kyle Rudolph. Like, phenomenal. That's the NFC Championship game.
It was fun, man. So Kirk Cousins,
mm-hmm.
If you want to look at the negatives, there's only three or four plays that you're going to look at. Took a couple sacks, maybe could have got one out on one of the sacks. Overthrows a vertical down the seam into cover two. His guy kind of gets hemmed up. It's an incompletion. Like could have made a better throw on a play action pass that he threw across the field to Diggs that was low. It almost looked like it got tipped, but it didn't get tipped. And he can't quarterback sneak. Had a quarterback sneak on the goal line. He can't. Is that not the craziest thing in the world?
That's not his first time doing that either.
He cannot sneak the ball. I don't know another quarterback that you can't call quarterback sneak with.
That's a great point. Like, I don't get it.
Remember 2 years ago when New Orleans came back and we just didn't sneak it? Jay, why didn't we sneak it? Kirk is not going to sneak. He can't. We're like, what? Well, he can't.
It's one of the easiest plays in the playbook.
So early in the game, he's really, it's a lot of little checkdowns and stuff. I think he started like 5 for 8 or something mm-hmm. like that. It was a lot of little checkdowns. But then as he got going, man, he made some huge throws. Look, I out of 242 yards, 109 came on third downs.
Wow.
There were 10 of 18 for third down conversions. 10 of 18. So as well as Dalvin Cook rushed the ball and they had 36 minutes, almost 37 minutes time of possession, you don't convert on third down, you're not getting them. That's the thing.
Over 50% on third down. You put you in a good position to win a game.
Out route to Thielen. Big time throw on a third down. Third and 9, 6 minutes, 15 seconds in the third quarter. I thought this was his best throw of the day. He threw a seam route to Adam Thielen. They had a blitz. His back didn't pick it up. He got freaking drilled in the back. The ball comes out. It's perfect. It's Verts and Thielen's on the outside, and you're like, that's a big throw. Yeah. I mean, that's an absolute big throw. On the same drive, he's got a 3rd and 1, and they go boot. He's rolling left. Looks like he might step up to run, starts to move like 3 steps
throws
up, and then
Diggs.
Drives one on Diggs. And yeah. You're like, that's a big-time throw on 3rd and 1, getting the ball 10 yards down
the
field.
He had no choice but to catch that. Hit him in a face mask. It's a big, big throw. Big throw.
No, huge throws. He had a 3rd and 8 late in the game. Who's number 15? That was dropped. Great throw. Great ball down the seam. If it's caught, you're like, that's a unbelievable throw by Kirk Cousins. Then he threw on a 3rd and 9 late to Adam Thielen that they converted. I mean, it's hard to say that he didn't have an A performance in that game. And then he has the couple plays in overtime.
Alexander Hollins is who you're referring to.
Okay.
Yeah. Just wanted it.
Alexander Holland. Yeah, when there was a reason I didn't know that name, because it doesn't even register as a name that I've ever heard before. But then overtime, you know, they had a third and one on that first drive. You know, like, they're going to straight drop back and throw and gun and hit Diggs on a slant. Like, that's a that's a gut check throw right there. That's, I think that's a tough throw in that situation. It is first play of the game here, come out, boom, throw a slant, whatever. First, third down and one of overtime, and it is all riding on you to put that ball right on the money. That was a big throw. It's a throw that he obviously has worked on a lot, but that's a big-time throw. And then, you know, the throw to Thielen's unbelievable in overtime. The deep angle to Thielen is, like...
That's one of the best throws I've seen.
It's the best throw of his career.
Easily.
It's the biggest throw of his career. Let's say that. And that's easily. And then the Rudolph fade ball was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
You think it's
BI? That was the other thing. The two things Kirk Cousins couldn't do here. He couldn't sneak, and he couldn't throw a fade. Mm-hmm. And when they split Rudolph out, I'm like, Kirk can't throw a fade. Kirk can't throw a fade. I texted Kirk and Rudolph after the game, told them congrats. I was happy for those guys.
Good for him, man.
I thought he was great. The moment wasn't too big, was it, Gabe?
Not for him. You think he can put back-to-back weeks like that together? I mean, he has no choice but to. But
let's see. Let's go through these games real quick.
Let's go.
Let's start with that one. Minnesota, San Francisco.
Man.
Who do you like?
I like Minnesota. Because I just don't think that I've always said all year that I don't think the 49ers would make too much noise in the playoffs because of Jimmy G. I don't think their offense is as lethal as people say it is. You got George Kittle, who's really good.
Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, Kendrick Bourne, and Dante Pettis is a good player for them as well. Dante Pettis has actually got some shake to him.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled some Dante Pettis double stick clips from earlier in this year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's got some shake. And Kittle's absolutely phenomenal. And Ross Dwelly is their other tight end who does a heck of a job. Ross Dwelly was an undrafted dude that ends up making that team and really became another very good player for him. Looks kind of like Kittle. He's obviously not, kind of moves like Kittle. And then Juszczyk is...
Yeah.
They don't have, like, star weapons, but I think Emmanuel Sanders kind of changed that team because he became the go-to guy, and they needed a go-to guy in the receiver group. Offensive line's good for San Francisco, but name-wise, it's better than it's actually been this year.
Mm-hmm.
That said, though, they run the heck out of the football.
That's the thing. Like, I just think Minnesota just has more firepower. Of course, that San Francisco crowd may play a factor.
Not like New Orleans.
Exactly. But I don't know. I like Minnesota in this game. I think Kirk is hot.
San Francisco, at least at scores and odds, is a 6-point favorite.
Well, I feel like it all depends on Adam Thielen, too. Of course,
he had a cut on his ankle today or yesterday in practice where he had to get a bunch of stitches.
Yeah.
They'll tape that up. He'll play.
But how does that miss a game? Is he 100% though?
Yeah, that could bother him. No, you'll tape that up real tight. He'll be fine with that one, I think. I don't know, maybe not.
Yeah.
If Minnesota
Adam Thielen.
This is the thing. They're like two very similar game plans.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kubiak against Shanahan. With two good defenses. To me, the key to this ballgame is what Minnesota does on defense. Are they the same defense as they were over the last couple seasons and the same defense they were against the Saints a week ago? Or are they the middle of the pack defense, blowing coverages and not being where they're supposed to be, like they've been a lot this season? Because when San Francisco goes with some of those boot looks and some of those throws, which, by the way, they've had 2 weeks now to design, they'll have some stuff from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Be interesting.
It'll be interesting for sure. So, I'm going San Francisco with that.
I think it's a low-scoring game.
San Francisco's fourth in the league in total defense, second in the league in total offense, or vice versa, one or the other. They're in the top five in both categories. Mm-hmm. You don't get teams that do that very often. I think San Francisco beats them by 2 touchdowns.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, I could still see anything happening. All right. Let's go to the second game, the 8:15 game on Saturday. Tennessee-Baltimore. The Baltimore Ravens are a 9-point favorite. Opened at 10-point favorites. Actually, currently now 9.5. 9.5-point favorites. Does anybody see Tennessee winning this game?
I personally don't. Nobody saw Tennessee beating the Patriots either. But I just can't. No. I personally don't see.
See, I thought that Buffalo might be the biggest nightmare for Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But after watching what Tennessee did against New England and watching their win, no matter what, through the back half of this season, with a good defense and safeties who can tackle, and Derrick Henry, who's just right now the best running back in the league, and he's the best running back in the, I don't know, there's some good running backs, but yeah, Derrick Henry,
he's top five.
Dude, if you watch the way he ran the ball last week, that's how they beat Baltimore. They just run the ball, and he hits little creases and seams, and he breaks it, and
He's 6'3", what, 235?
He's a monster. Yeah,
he's hard to bring down.
I don't think this game gets out of hand. I don't think Baltimore beats Tennessee by a bunch of points. The thing is that if Tennessee gets down, they're not coming back. I just don't see Tannehill bringing them back against the Baltimore defense. That's the one thing that I think would be the biggest problem, is that Baltimore defense will take over. Let's flip the script here. Let's go to Houston, Kansas City. Who do you like?
I like Kansas City. I think they're just too good. They'll just overpower the Texans. The Texans, they look good last week in the second half. But I feel like the Chiefs, they get on you early. They score early, they score fast, and they tell you to keep up with them.
Kansas City, 9.5-point favorites. Spagnuolo is going to bring a million pressures. Deshaun Watson has struggled tremendously to pressure.
Yeah.
Will Fuller should play for Houston this week, which would be huge for them. But I just don't think it matters. I don't think Deshaun Watson's got enough. And that Houston defense, J.J. Watt back's big. They're a different team with J.J. Watt. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. I just don't think they have a chance against Kansas City. I think this is the most one-sided game of the week. Kansas City's going to win this week pretty easily. Seattle-Green Bay, the 6:40 game.
That's a toss-up.
By the way, 6:40 is an ideal game time. Perfect. Mm-hmm. For a Sunday game.
Yeah.
6:40? Yeah.
Get done eating. You already took your nap after you ate.
Yeah, the game's going to be over before 10 o'clock, so you don't have to stay up too late.
Exactly.
Green Bay at home, 4-point favorites over Seattle.
Well, they give you 3 points, right, at home? If you're home, I'll take Seattle on that.
I'll take Seattle on that, too.
Yeah. I don't think.
Green Bay's missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Seattle's going to live and die by the big play. They did against the Eagles, too. They have no run game right now. They have lost all their running backs. Marshawn Lynch is not the old Marshawn Lynch. I promise you that. He did not look like it.
Even though
he had a couple of receptions where he looked okay, and he had one nice touchdown run. This is a really, when you do this matchup, really even across the board. Like, both teams match up really evenly.
Because Seattle's missing, three offensive linemen? Like, three of their starting offensive linemen? Like, they're pretty banged up also.
They're missing those guys. They have nobody at tight end left.
Yeah.
Whoever wears number 48's in there playing their starting tight end shouldn't diss a 40.
Mike Allstott.
Mike Allstott's playing tight end for the Seahawks. Seattle's not as good defensively as you would think that they are. They give up 381 yards per game. It's 26th in the league. They give up 25 points per game. It's low in the league. They give up 117 yards rushing a game, 22nd in the league. 263 passing, 27th in the league. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not the same Seattle defense that you think of. And it's funny that you give people credit. Like, you're going to keep giving them credit. This is Seattle defense. Their defense is a big liability right now. Their offense has kept them in games.
Right.
Russell Wilson's kept them in games, and that's the big play that keeps them in games. I will say, as a note from watching the Seattle game on offense, the one thing I love is just how freaking fast the receivers react to Russell Wilson off schedule. The second he moves, they're like, I want the ball.
Right.
They all take off. I mean, it becomes immediate.
they're all on the same page.
They are. They practice that. Yeah. You gotta practice that deal. But Green Bay's in the middle of the pack everywhere. Green Bay's average on offense. Green Bay's going to live and die by the big play, too. Mm-hmm. Green Bay hasn't run the ball as effectively as you like to. They haven't committed to it the way I think that they would want to commit to it. But they still get some of the play action looks. If they don't get their deep run action looks, but I think they will against... Mm-hmm. I think this ends up being a really, really good game.
If they can get to Russell Wilson, if the Smith brothers can get to Russell Wilson, I'll take Green Bay. But I just think Russell Wilson is just too good. I personally do. I think it's a nail, but I think it's a last, like a game-winning field goal type of game.
And we're going to give it to Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish today was Friday, and I wish that the Redskins were in the playoffs. Likewise. So much fun to watch football and talk about football and watch these games, and it's so hard to talk about all these great players and all this stuff and not have us be a part of it.
Yeah.
But it will be fun. I am really looking forward to these games. I'm really looking forward
to your
games.
TV this
I'm
weekend.
Actually, you know, the crazy thing. I am coaching in the NFL PA Collegiate Bowl.
Really?
Which is in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So I'm leaving on Saturday, but Saturday morning. So I don't know if my schedule will be... Like, there's no way, right? Like, Saturday's, I think, a nothing day, a 3 day. Yeah. So this is actually going to be awesome.
I'll be texting you, though.
Yeah, you can text me. Well, you text me anyways.
I know.
But the Saturday will be awesome.
Baltimore.
Minnesota, San Francisco, 4:35. I will be alone in my room. Actually, there's going to be a lot of good coaches and a lot of people there. I'm on the Hugh Jackson team.
Hey!
Marvin Lewis, the head coach of the other
team. So will you be writing plays now? Will you be? You have a handy-dandy notebook with you?
I got all my stuff. I'm the tight ends coach for the Hugh Jackson team.
That's huge, man. No pun intended.
No, it's been fun. I've watched all the film. I think there's 7 tight ends that are in this. I don't know who's on my side yet. I'm sure I'll find out. But, yeah, you got to go learn that Hugh Jackson offense. But
you'll be in heaven, man.
About? I think Hugh Jackson's offense is Jay Gruden's offense. And I think it's all West Coast lingo. So I think I don't have to learn Hugh Jackson's offense. I think I know it.
Spider 6Y banana.
That's John Gruden.
Gruden.
John Gruden in Tampa Bay. So...
Good for you, man. But we'll see. Yeah,
that'll be a lot of fun. Those are good opportunities for those young kids, and so it's fun to go out and help them. So.
And they get a good coach too.
Yeah, they get a bunch of good coaches. All right. Well, thanks for listening. That's all for the day. It's actually almost all for the day. No, that's all. I'm just kidding. Thanks. See ya.
Your heart works hard. And sometimes, its parts need repair. That's what we do at Inova Structural Heart Program in Fairfax. With outcomes that exceed the national average, we're a leader in both minimally invasive repair techniques and surgery to address heart valve disease. Give your heart the benefit of care from Inova Heart and Vascular Institute. Find an Inova physician by visiting innovaheart.org/valve. Inova. Join the future of health.
At Coke, our 67,000 U.S. employees make things that make your game days better, like fertilizer for greener turf and stronger paper products for tailgating. Viewing the game from your couch? Coke also makes the electronic components and TVs and smart devices so you can watch your Redskins victory anywhere. Coke, we make that. See it all at kochmakesthat.com. That's kochmakesthat.com.
Dear customer service, I can always count on Novae. My power is always on, my payments always go through, and Novae actually cares about the community they serve.
Dear Novae, your electric costs are reasonable. Some electricity is from alternative sources, and cost reductions are passed along during the year. Thanks.
Novae, power you can count on.
Hi, I'm Daryl Green. I think true success is when you've reached a goal and have also helped others along the way. I'm a founding board member of Main Street Bank, a local business-focused community bank. As a community bank, you'll find Main Street bankers at your places of worship, at fundraisers for charitable organizations, and at civic clubs, teaching financial literacy classes and many other activities to benefit others in our community. I invite you to bank with Main Street Bank, mstreetbank.com. We bank where you breathe. Member FDIC.